chapter 14. As we continue to go through the book of Acts, we find ourselves in Acts chapter 14. And we'll be starting in that first verse. If you have need of a Bible, we have some available so you can follow along with us. They're already bookmarked for you. Acts chapter 14. God bless you. Before we get started, a couple of prayer requests this morning. I don't know how long you guys have been involved in the Calvary Chapel movement, but Calvary Chapel of Albuquerque, senior pastor there is Pastor Skip Heisick. He has some bleeding on his brain this morning, and he's actually in the hospital, so we're going to pray for him this morning, but I would ask you to continue to pray. He's an amazing man of God. He's an amazing teacher of the Word of God. So I'm sure that fellowship is, you know, on their heads right now, wondering what God's going to do. So, again, he's in the hospital. They're hoping they don't have to do surgery, that the swelling will come down, the bleeding will stop, but we're going to pray for that. And then this next announcement is something that's very exciting to me. For our church, we've been meeting in this space for a very long time. And God has a way of doing things, and it's so funny to me because today's message is never give up, and it's ministering to me that we should never give up. I want to let you guys know that we've put a contract in on a piece of property in kind of on Sunset Road, kind of on the way towards Nolensville. It's a five-acre piece of property. It has a residential home on it right now. But the specific zoning that's sitting on that particular property automatically allows for a church to be built there. So there's no rezoning process. And Pastor RJ and I had an opportunity to sit down with the city of Nolensville, had a wonderful conversation, which I won't say it, but it had a wonderful conversation with them. They look forward to working with us. So the offer has been put in. They have to answer by tomorrow at 5 o'clock. So let's see what God's going to do. You know, yes, amen. Amen to that. We would love to have a home. You know, we would love to have a home. The price seems very reasonable for that particular area, and lots of opportunities, and it's a beautiful piece of property. So let's pray for that and continue to pray for that. So excited about that. Acts chapter 14, again, we're going to pick up in verse 1, but before we do, let's go to the Lord in prayer and ask him to bless us. Father, we do know, as we come to you in Jesus' name, we're already blessed. Every single one of us in this room who is a child of yours, is a Christian, is blessed abundantly just by the fact of knowing you, just by the fact of being part of your family, being a part of your body. And so, God, we feel sometimes selfish to ask for more blessings. But, Lord, you love to bless your kids, and so I don't feel in any way that we're asking outside of your will. We ask you to bless us. Bless our time here as we study your word together. Bless our lives as we go from this place, Lord, and be used by you. We certainly want to lift up Calvary Chapel of Albuquerque to you, God. We just pray for your grace to be sufficient. We pray that in the days ahead, perhaps this afternoon, we'll hear an update and hear how wonderful that you touched and you worked, and there was no need for a surgery for Pastor Skip, but Lord, that you would restore him. We pray that you would be with that fellowship, Lord. I'm sure their hearts are broken right now, and I'm sure they're probably having a prayer meeting this morning on this. And I thank you for technology. I thank you for the blessing to receive that email this morning from the Calvary Chapel Association, just asking us to be praying and asking us to intercede, how important it is to activate the body of Christ in prayer. And so, God, we lay him before you. We place him at your feet. We place him in your care. We know you're in control. We know that nothing happens by mistake. We know that nothing happens outside of your awareness. And so, God, let this be a powerful testimony of the power of our God. Father, we would also ask that you would just bless the offer that we've put upon this property, Lord, to truly all these years searching and seeking and not being able to find anything, and then yet here this kind of falls into our laps at the perfect time. I just thank you for your timing, and we just pray your will would be done. Lord, again, it's exciting to consider it, but Lord, we know we want what you want, and what you see the future, you know what's perfect for us. So bless that contract, do with it what you want to do, and we're going to be okay with that. But we get excited about the opportunity to have our own space. So bless that. God, as we look to your word, teach us, instruct us, Help us to be those Christians that you've called us to be. So bless us now, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So, again, my title of the message this morning is To Never Give Up. And I would imagine every single one of us in this room at one point or another felt like giving up on something. Maybe giving up on yourself, maybe giving up on a relationship, maybe giving up on, you know, Tennessee or whatever it may be. There's those times when things get to be so difficult that we just want to give up. I've been there. I'm sure you have. But we're going to look this morning and just see how the Apostle Paul and Barnabas and those apostles here in Acts are not willing to give up. You know, when God's call is upon your life, when God's hand is upon your life, we should not give up. And I think one thing we should learn as Christians, that even when things get difficult, we can't give up. You know, I think about the things that Pastor Skip is going through. You know, don't give up on praying. Don't give up on the Lord. It's a wonderful reminder for each of us this morning that God never gives up. Aren't you glad of that? That God never gives up on you. God always has your best interest at stake and at heart. And it just, to me, it's a great reminder. But maybe this morning, maybe there's something specific that you're right on the verge of saying, I'm done with this. Maybe it's a situation, it's a circumstance that you have in your life that you're saying, it's just too hard, I got to stop. Or maybe it's a person, maybe there's someone that you want to give up on. You know, maybe there's someone in your life you're saying, you know, I've poured into this person. I've invested in this person. And I can't do it any longer. I want to encourage you this morning that with God's help, that we would persevere. Now listen, there's those times when we need to move away from certain things. There's certain situations we find our lives in that maybe, yes, we need to move on. But let that not be the first thing that we choose. Let that not be the first place that we go. Just because things get difficult, just because they maybe get a little bit uncomfortable, let's not get to that place where we just want to give up. And one of my favorite guys in all the world is George Mueller. And if this will work... I don't know if you can see that or not, but I'm going to read it out loud. This is George Mueller. He said this, I live in the spirit of prayer. I pray as I walk about, when I lie down, and when I rise up. And the answers are always coming. Thousands and tens of thousands of times have my prayers been answered. Can you say that this morning? I think many of us can. When once I am persuaded that the thing is right and for the glory of God, I go on praying, for it is until the answer comes. George Mueller never gives up. What a testimony of this man's life. Thousands and tens of thousands of prayers have been going on. Tens of thousands of prayers have been answered in George Mueller's life. If you've ever read about this man, he was a man of prayer. But he was a man that was so close to God. He could sense his heart. He could sense his direction and his guidance. And this last thing down here, George Mueller never gives up. If I put your name in there, could you say the same thing? Could I say with confidence, Pastor Rob never gives up? I believe it's a choice. I believe it's an attitude. I believe it's a countenance that truly, before anything even happens, I'm not going to give up. I mean, honestly, one of the things in my life as a pastor that I thought I would never get to when I was stepping into the ministry, I'll never give up on God. I'll never give up. I'm going to go and just run that race that God has before me. And it was those moments in my life, in my ministry, when I said, this is too hard. That gave me such angst. I never wanted to get to that place. And maybe you've been there. You've gotten to that place where you didn't want to give up. You didn't want to give up on your kids. You didn't want to give up on your parents. You didn't want to give up on your loved ones or your friends or whoever it is. But then that thought enters in. Just give up. That's what the enemy wants, isn't it? He wants us to give up. He wants us to walk away from the Lord. But if we don't, if we persevere, I believe we'll hear those answers prayed. Those prayers answered. Let's do it the right way. I believe if we'll persevere and not give up and be faithful to a God who's faithful to us. Last week in chapter 13, we saw Barnabas and Paul, or Paul and Barnabas, just, you know, having to be expelled from the city of, what was it? Let me make sure I get this right. Oh my gosh. Smyrna? No. Oh my gosh, I'm sorry. Oh. Antioch, thank you. Just left my head. They were asked to leave. The Jewish leader said, you know, get out of town. We don't want to hear this message of Jesus Christ. We don't want to hear about the Messiah. And so they shook the dust off their feet and they left that town. In some senses, I would think maybe discouraged. God, why didn't you save more souls? Why didn't you do more with us? We were a faithful God. And that's why as we enter into chapter 14, they're now coming to Iconium, and they're going to do the very same thing. It's a testament to Paul and to Barnabas and the believers there that they're not going to give up on God. They might leave a place, but sometimes we just got to be confident that God's going to work. And I think that confidence in God is something for the believer that is unique. You know, we never have to think, will God get the glory? We have to think, will God do amazing things? He always is doing amazing things. He's not always doing what we want him to do, when we want him to do it, but he's always doing amazing things. And if we can just rest in that place that, God, you're in control. And I think that's where Paul was. I think that's where Barnabas was, trusting in the Lord. I mean, they saw great works in that city. As they were sharing the faith, the Gentiles went and they told the whole town, and almost the whole town showed up to the next Sabbath to hear the truth. So ministry was taking place. But sometimes the Holy Spirit moves. Sometimes the Holy Spirit creates a situation to keep Paul and Barnabas moving, and I think that's what it is. We just need to keep moving. I think one of the most tragic things is when a believer loses steam, when they lose that excitement and that fervor for God doing amazing things. Paul does this. They grew bold, and yet they had to shake the dust off their feet. But as we get to Acts chapter 14, here we are again, entering into the same place. Read with me if you will. Again, having this idea that Paul and Barnabas and those never gave up, and that we will learn from that and be encouraged not to give up as well. Verse 1, it says, "Now it happened in Iconium that they went together to the synagogue of the Jews, and so spoke that a great multitude, both of Jews and of the Greeks, believed. But the unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles and poisoned their minds against the brethren. Therefore they stayed a long time, speaking boldly in the Lord, who was bearing witness to the word of his grace, granting signs and wonders to be done by their hands. But the multitude of the city was divided, part sided with the Jews and part with the apostles. And when a violent attempt was made by both the Gentiles and Jews with their rulers to abuse and stone them, they became aware of it and fled to Lystra and Derbe, cities of Lycaonia, and to the surrounding regions. And they were preaching the gospel there." That's all I want to look at this morning, is those seven verses. And I want us to be reminded that Paul and Barnabas never gave up. And I think the greatest reason for that is they weren't looking at the experience that they were having. They were focused on the call upon their lives, the call that God had upon their lives. I will tell you right now, if you start looking at your situation, if you start looking at your experiences and being led by experience only, you will give up. You will stop. Life is hard, my friends. It's difficult. Monday morning at 8 o'clock is coming, right? Back to the grind, back to the routine. Life's not easy, but if we're focusing on the routine, if we're focusing on the humdrum of necessary this life, oh, it's easy to get discouraged. It's easy to feel defeated. But if we focus on today, that this week God is going to use me, how would that be? How would that change your attitude for the week if you said, you know what? This week, God, please use me. God, please show me what you want me to do. See, I did it for many years. You just kind of go through life. Situations happen. Opportunities open if they do. But We never sought them. I never sought them. Just let them happen. No, take this week by the horns and move. See, never giving up. Number one, we never want to give up because the word is anointed. The word of God is anointed. We come here on Sunday mornings and Wednesday nights and times that we gather together as a fellowship to get into the word of God. The importance of the scripture. This is a very powerful book. You've experienced that probably in your life. If you haven't, you haven't read it. Because in these texts, in these words, are such life. And that's what Paul and Barnabas and his team were doing. They were focusing on spreading the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. They wanted people to hear about Jesus. Again, they weren't promoting their ministry. They weren't promoting their movement. They were promoting Christ. And if we truly are motivated by promoting Christ, his word is anointed. I don't care how many people you come up against that say, I don't want to hear that. I don't want to hear any of that. That's old. Your focus still needs to be God's word is powerful. God's truth is there. I believe for every no, we're getting that much closer to someone who needs to hear that truth in a powerful way. That's what I love about ministry. Ministry is all about reminding people of how good God is. Do you know how good God is? Anybody? Yes, we know he's good. He's faithful. And we need to be reminded of that. And that's what Paul and Barnabas were doing. They were teaching the word. Again, look at verse 1. It says, and now it happened in Iconium that they were together in the synagogue. They went together to the synagogue of the Jews and so spoke that a great multitude, both of the Jews and the Greeks, believed. They so spoke that a multitude of the Jews and Greeks believed. Now, I want to submit this to you guys. They didn't so speak with craftiness. They didn't so speak with elegance. Their message wasn't so powerful because of who they were. Their message was powerful because of the truth that was behind it. The word of God. I know, with a matter of fact, that Paul spoke about Jesus. And that's where we got to make sure we stay. When we are sharing with someone to encourage them, they have to know about Jesus. They have to know about the word of God, Jesus Christ himself. That's the message. In fact, another translation of this particular verse, verse 1, says that they preached with such power that great number of both Jews and Greeks believed. With power. This isn't something that you work up to. You know, when I step behind this pulpit, I'm not saying, okay, I'm gonna work at my best. I'm gonna make sure I'm a little more animated. No. It's like Holy Spirit bring the power. Holy Spirit deliver the truth. There's people in this room right now that need to have the power of the Holy Spirit active in their life. You gotta know the word of God, and then you gotta be willing to be used by the Spirit of God to teach about the Son of God. You have to know that truth. And that's why we come together, to hear that truth. See, they taught with power. They taught with conviction. They taught with confidence. How confident are you in your Savior? How convicted are you of the truth of what God has done in your life? I just saw a video of a Calvary Chapel pastor, and he was sharing the importance of a testimony, the power of your testimony. And some of you in this room might think, well, I don't have a testimony. If you're alive, you have a testimony. A testimony is your story. A testimony is how God changed you. And I've shared this before, but a very dear pastor friend of mine got saved at the age of 4. And for many years, as he got older, felt like his testimony was nothing. But yet, there were so many people in his life that would say, I looked at your life. I heard about your testimony of knowing Jesus since you kneeling on beside your bed with your mother, asking Jesus to be in your life from the age of 4, and that just draws me closer to my relationship with God. So never underestimate the power of your testimony. How did Jesus grab your heart? How did Jesus transform your life? You've heard my testimony. I went to an Easter service just because it was Easter. And I heard the gospel for the first time, clearly. I'm sure I heard it many other times. But this particular time, I felt like the pastor was talking to me. Have you ever felt like I've only been talking to you? See? That's not me. I don't have cameras in your... I haven't bugged you guys. The Holy Spirit knows you, and he knows what you need. And when I sat in that Easter service, just honestly going, let's get through this so that we can get to lunch. Honestly. And that pastor started talking about Jesus Christ dying on a cross for my sins and how God wanted to dwell in my soul in that God-shaped box. Those were the words he used, God-shaped box. And I always felt I had a great life, but I always felt there was something missing. And in that moment, the Holy Spirit said to me, this is what you're missing. You're missing me. I didn't know what that meant. I didn't know what being a follower of Christ meant. I didn't know, you know, I was going to have to read my Bible. I didn't know I was going to have to pray out loud, which back then, don't ask me to pray out loud. It's amazing what God can do. And so it's in those moments when God speaks through you and touches the life of another. The word of God is powerful. Sometimes people need to hear that God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son, that if you believe in him, you will be saved. And it's just being reminded of the simple truth of how God changed your life. Don't underestimate the power of God's word and the power of God's word in you. See, the apostles preached with a unique anointing. And that was the anointing and the power of the Holy Spirit. And it's sad to say, but in the days that we live in, sometimes ministers today pray more because they have a degree. Teach more because they've been educated on how to be a pastor. These guys were just convicted by the Holy Spirit. They experienced Jesus in a personal way. But how far we've come from that. Your walk with God should be unique in such a way that you feel the anointing of the Holy Spirit on your life. I'm thankful that when we read the book of Acts, we can't think, oh, these are just old stories. This doesn't happen anymore. God's anointing can be on us. God's word is still powerful. So we need to be in a position to know that and to be able to speak that. The apostles preached because they were called by the Lord. This is so important, to be called by God, to be used by God. And I'm going to tell you, if you're a Christian, you're called. It's that simple. You know, it's not only pastors that are called into the ministry. Every Christian is called into the ministry. Go, therefore, and preach the gospel. Go, therefore, and share about your faith. So there has to be this call upon the Lord today. And this has gotten something that's been dealing with, I've been dealing with for the last year or so. It seems like everything in our society has to do with money. Everything in our society has to do with money. And I don't want to step on too many toes here this morning, but sometimes we can be so drawn towards money. Whether it's a new career, whether it's a new job path, well, this must be the Lord. There's more money in it. I believe the enemy can give you more money and make you more discontented than anything else. Never be called to money. Never be directed by money only. Not to say that that's not a good thing. It can be a good thing. God could do that. He loves to bless you. But don't let that be the driving force. Let God be behind it, and then let him bless you in the money. The apostles preach with a purpose. Today, they preach for popularity. May it not be so for us. The apostles were interested in winning souls for Jesus Christ. They went to the synagogue and they taught to the Jews again, which is so amazing to me. Because remember, do you remember last time when we talked that they shook the dust off of their feet and they said, if you don't consider yourself eligible for everlasting life, we're moving on to the Gentiles. But what is the very first thing they do in the next town? They go right back into the synagogue. You see, God's promise to the Jews continues and remains till today. Just because Paul said we're going to the Gentiles doesn't mean he's going to change his tactic. Because inside the synagogue were Jews and Gentiles. We can never restrict our message to only a certain people group. How many times I got to say it in this church? Our doors are open to all people. You know, I've been working with a leadership coach, and one of the questions they ask, well, who's your market? Who are you looking to bring into your church? What group of people? And I'm like, that is the dumbest question I've ever heard. Living people? How's that? Is that good? Is that a people group? It's like, well, I mean, what they want to hear, is it the young families? Is it the older crowd? Is it this? I'm like, I looked at him straight in the face. I said, I'm sorry, but this is my answer. Everybody's allowed to come. I want to market to everybody. Don't come to our church because you have this or because you look like that. Or no, come to our church because you need Jesus Christ. Because you want to hear the word of God. And that's one thing I just so love about Calvary Chapels and churches that teach the word of God. Because this is what's important, right? This is what really is going to last, is how much of this book you really know. How much of this book you really believe, right? I love the fact that there are some amazing stories written in this text that from human perspective is impossible. I'm going to get to it at the end of the message. Some of the things that God has done with people, a talking donkey? A man walks on water? I mean, someone raised from the dead? I mean, I love what we sang about it. It's like, call my name. I want to walk out of the grave. But that's pretty amazing, right? Now, do you believe that happened? Absolutely. It's not just a good story. It's not just good for illustration. It's the truth. And if we truly do believe that, and we truly do believe that God can raise the dead, there's a lot of dead people out there that are walking around that need to hear the truth. So the word of God is anointed, and if we know the word of God, we'll share the word of God. That's number one. The second thing we find in verse 3. He says there, it says, therefore they stayed there a long time. Well, actually read verse 2. But the unbelieving Jews, here we go again, stirred up the Gentiles and poisoned their minds against their brethren. So the Jews were causing trouble. Oh no, don't listen to Paul. Don't believe that there's salvation available to you Gentiles. And then look what Paul does. This time he says, therefore we stayed there a long time. Paul saw the need. He saw the importance of coming alongside them, speaking boldly in the Lord, who was bearing witness to the word of his grace, granted signs and wonders to be done by their hands. If we're going to never give up because the word is anointed, the second reason, hopefully this is going to work. Because God's hand is upon you. Because God's hand's upon you. Again, in verse 3, therefore they stayed there a long time, speaking boldly in the Lord. God was with them, who was bearing witness by the word of his grace, granting signs and wonders to be done by their hands. Signs and wonders are so amazing, right? Isn't that what we want? Wait, God, do something amazing. Do something miraculous. Back in those days, God had to do signs and wonders to prove that he was who he was. We don't need necessarily signs and wonders because we know the proof is here. Now, yes, signs and wonders, I believe, still exist for today, and I think they're important. But let's not strive for only those. Let's just stay within the context of the word of God. But as Paul and Barnabas are teaching the truth against a little bit of opposition from the Jews, they had to evidence that. God had to reveal his power in that through signs and wonders. Probably raising, or healing people of sicknesses, restoring their lives. God's hand, when God's hand is upon you, it's an amazing thing. When you really know you're being guided by the Lord, and everyone in this room can have God's hand upon them if they let him guide him. Now, he's not going to shove you. He's not going to push you, but he's going to guide you. He's going to gently move you to stay on that path that he wants you to be on. It's our job to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit in that aspect. It was Wednesday night at our Wednesday night Bible study. We're in the book of Philemon, but two Wednesdays ago, as I was studying for our message in Philemon, I came across this verse, which is verse 4. And Paul does this in a lot of his letters, if not all of them. I thank my God, making mention of you always in my prayers. Several years ago, I was so moved at just about every letter Paul writes, he writes this to who he's writing to. He loved the people so much. He wanted them to know, well, I'm praying for you. And again, I don't think this is just Paul giving fluff. I think Paul truly did pray for them, making mention of you in my prayer. Sometimes it says, when the Lord reminds me, I prayed for you. How important it is to us to be sensitive, to listen to God in our time of prayer. I think it's important for us to have prayer lists, you know, a booklet maybe we can open, that we wrote down people's prayer requests. We do that at this church. When prayer requests go in there, we write them down, and we pray for them, and we're reminded of them. But I also believe Paul was moved by the Spirit to pray for people. So anyways, I was moved by this in such a way, I said, you know what? And God had been showing me the power of prayer that particular week, and I'm like, we need to have a prayer service. We need to have time praying. And Wednesday night, I came in, and I said, guys, we're going to do something a little bit different tonight. We're going to read the Word of God, but we're also going to spend time in prayer. And here's the cool thing. I shared this with a couple people. That particular Wednesday night, we were looking at a different location for a church. We've been looking for a location for a church for a long time. So this place that we've been looking at before came back up. And we looked at it again, and we talked about it. I said, you know what? We're going to pray. We're going to just pray. And my prayer was basically, God, if this is what you want us to be, where you want us to be, put us there. But if not, let it close down. That was Wednesday. By Saturday, my real estate agent called me and said, that property is not going to work. At first, I was like, oh, man, here we go again. But then they said, but below is attached this other property that we just put an offer in on. And I'm going to be honest with you. I don't say that because I'm not honest with you. I just want you to know that. Because I've been told if people say, let me be honest with you, that means most of the time they're not honest with you. I'm honest with you. Honestly, when they showed me the property and I saw that it was a residential house, immediately I was like, this ain't going to work. It's not going to work. So we set up a visit to it on Tuesday. On the way over, as I'm driving over to it, it's only 5-10 minutes from my house. As I'm driving over, I go, this is going to be such a waste of my time. Don't I have a lot of faith, right? It's like, oh. But I'll tell you what, pulling up on that property immediately, it's like, Then I walk inside the house. Then we go in the backyard. Swimming pool. Very nice. Big empty lot in the back. Very nice. Sound studio in the garage. Yeah, some of the musicians are like, huh? Sound studio. I mean, it's just absolutely amazing. And then when I found out it had the right zoning for a church, the church can use it there as long as we submit plans to the city of Nolensville. Again, I walked away from that going, oh, ye of little faith, right? Oh. And God's wisdom, I believe he saw us taking that time on Wednesday night to pray. All the time having this. It's been on the market for 160 days. It's been there. We've never seen it. And then we pray and we ask God. And he says, not that one. Let me show you this one. Who knows what he's going to do? But I just look at it and I just laugh to God. I'm like, thank you for being faithful. You ask us to pray, and we pray. And look what you do. And I share that as a testament because, guys, don't give up on God in prayer. Don't give up on God in prayer. Again, George Mueller says he prays to God until he knows his will, and then he continues to pray. We can't give up. It's a conversation that you have with the Lord. Prayer is not something that should be hard or difficult. It's just something we should just long to do and enter into that time of prayer. God loves to answer prayer. And I always feel like I have to say this. Sometimes no to your prayer is an answer. And honestly, I like the no's. Because I want to know what God's will is. And if it's a no, then good. I don't want to put myself into a no of God. I want to be in a yes of God. I want where God says, yes, I will bless you there. My mind's going all kinds of places. Sometimes we need to hear the thing that's hard to hear. Sometimes in prayer, when God says no, you need to say, thank you, Lord, from saving me from whatever you just saved me from. Because sometimes the Lord has to hurt our feelings to bless our souls. Amen? Amen. hurt our feelings. Oh, Lord, I told my real estate agent, if this property doesn't go through, I'm going to be devastated. But I'm still going to say, fine, Lord, you know what's best. You know, and that's where we got to get. We got to get to that place where we say, Lord, your will be done, not my will be done. Let God's hand stay upon you. Don't give up. Let him guide you and direct you. He will do that. Again, it says they spoke boldly. Again, in verse 3, therefore they stayed there a long time. We don't know how long that is. Speaking boldly in the Lord. Man, when you have God's hand on your life, you will speak boldly. You'll tell your best friend what they need to hear, not what they want to hear. You'll tell that person that needs to hear the truth, sorry, that relationship you're in just does not make sense. It's hard to hear the truth, but it's the truth that we need to hear, my friends. It's the truth that we need to hear. So, never giving up, because the word is anointed and because the hand of God is upon you. The third thing is found in look at verse 4. But the multitude of the city was divided, part sided with the Jews and part with the apostles. And when a violent attempt was made by both the Gentiles and Jews with their rulers to abuse and stone them, they become aware of it and fled to Lystra and Derbe, cities of Lycaonia, and to the surrounding regions. The last thing. Okay, we'll do this one at a time. The word is anointed. God's hand is upon you. Finally, I love this one. People need to hear the gospel. People need to hear the truth. Okay, they stayed a long time. They ministered to people, but when they found out that there was a coup against them, they left. The Holy Spirit guiding them and directing them to another place. Maybe sometimes we're staying in the one place that we feel safe in, and God's going, I need you to be over here. I need to stretch you a little bit. I need to put you in a place where people need to hear the gospel. And, you know, I hope that doesn't seem complex to people, the gospel. I mean, that's just the word of it. It's like, ooh, that's, you know what the gospel is? Do you know what the gospel is? The truth. The gospel is that Jesus, the Son of God, came to live a perfect life, to die on a cross, to be buried in a tomb for 3 days, and to rise again and sit at the right hand of God. That is the gospel in a nutshell. And because he's seated in authority, if we put our faith and trust in him, we're saved. This might sound weird, but I don't think that's good news. I think that's great news. Right? Like the only news, exactly. Hear ye, there's the news of the day. Jesus died for me and everyone else. People need to hear the truth, because what they're hearing out there from the world is you'll never measure up. You won't be enough. You'll never make it. Haven't we all heard those things? Heard those words? It's like, but God looks down and says, I see your life of such value. If you just allow me to be a part of your life, I will work in you. People need to hear the gospel. People need to hear that truth. The Holy Spirit who led them to this city of Iconium moved them now to a new place. And I think it's important. Again, I go back to kind of verse 4. It says, part sided with the Jews and part with the apostles. I don't know what it is about human nature, but we always focus or gravitate towards the negative instead of the positive. Don't focus on the 10 people who don't receive the truth, and focus more on the one or two people that do. Focus on the one or two people that really needed to hear that. It's so encouraging to know that we can speak to people and encourage people, and that just changes the direction of their minds and changes the direction of their lives. To be ready and be open to do that. Never give up, because the Holy Spirit is leading you to someone who needs to hear the truth. That's the thing. That the Holy Spirit led them to a new city where they needed to hear the truth. Again, the gospel was being spread. The truth was getting out there. And Paul was good with the good, the bad, and the ugly of it as he continued to be moved by the Spirit. It's important for us to be moved by the Spirit. regardless of how hard things may get in your life. And maybe you're here this morning, and it's really hard. Maybe you're here this morning, and you're like, I don't know how much more of this I can do, how much more of this I can take. God wants to remind you this morning not to give up. God wants to remind you that you're close to receiving a blessing. Again, I know I've been using a couple of, but I mean, just the idea of thinking that there's a possibility for us to have our own church is so exciting that it recharges me. And sometimes God moves you in a direction just to get you to be a little more excited. When I was on the phone with my wife the other day telling her about the property, she goes, I haven't heard you this excited in a long time. And I was glad of that, but then I hung up the phone going, am I really that much of a downer? But it's like sometimes God just needs to get you excited about something so he can take you somewhere else. I don't think Paul and Barnabas focused on the Jews and all their rhetoric. I think they were focused on the one or two or ten or however many people that were coming to the Lord, that were believing in Jesus. Part sided with the Jews, part sided with Paul. And I'm just glad of that. There's people and friends in my life. Most of my friends came to know the Lord when I got saved. There's a few that didn't. And that, I mean, sure, that's heavy on my heart. But it's like, that's not my job. It's God's job to save people. It's people's opportunity to receive the truth. We just got to make sure that our lives are being lived in such a way that people look at it and go, well, I don't want that, but man, it looks good, perhaps. Hopefully it looks good enough for them to say, I want a part of that. So be a good example. Regardless of how hard things get, never give up. God is always at work. Isn't that the truth? God doesn't take days off. God's always at work, doing something. And here's a news flash. He doesn't have to tell you about it. Doesn't have to tell me about it. As many years as I've been waiting for an opportunity for a property, God's never said, don't worry, I got one coming. I've believed that, but he didn't tell me that. Who knows? So I want to look at Peter's experience with the Lord. Peter's experience with the Lord. After the feeding of the 5,000, Jesus told the disciples, get into the boat and go across the Sea of Galilee to the other side. You know the story. They get into the boat and they start heading over there, and then what happens? A storm comes. And they're fearful and they're afraid. And all of a sudden there's this image that starts coming towards them. They think it's a ghost. And then they hear the voice. The voice says, be of good cheer. It is I. Do not be afraid. And Peter recognized the voice. And in absolute amazement, Peter sees Jesus walking towards him. And Peter says, if it's you, Lord, ask me to come walk out on the water. I've never thought about it. What a thing to ask. What an amazing thing to ask. I might have limited it to, Lord, stop the storm, or Lord, get me out of this boat. But he literally said, let me come out on the water. He wanted to do what his Savior was doing. What a wonderful testimony. What an amazing thing. And Jesus says, come. And the amazing thing is, Peter steps out on that water. Wow. But we all know the story, right? Starts to sink. He started focusing on the wind. He started focusing on the waves. And he began to seek, and he cries out to his Lord, Lord, save me. And what does Jesus do? It says it reaches his hands out and picks me up. Do you realize how close Peter was to Jesus when he started to sink? If Jesus was able to grab his hand? And we might look at this and go, Peter, why did you do that? Even Jesus said, oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt? Why did you doubt? Why wasn't there enough faith there? Now, we can look at Peter and say, man, where's your faith? But can I submit to you, Peter was walking on water. Peter stepped out of the boat. Peter asked Jesus to let him walk on water. If that's not faith, I don't know what is. And what I believe for Peter, because again, Jesus scolded him, oh, you have little faith. Why did you doubt? I believe Jesus was saying to Peter, why did you give up? Why did you give up? If you could have just had a little bit more, not faith, but a little bit more perseverance, maybe one or two steps, and you would have been with me, Peter. And I wonder for some of us in this room, if we're so close to Jesus, if we're so close to that blessing, if we're so close to letting our faith shine, but yet we get to that point where I give up. Maybe you're here this morning. Maybe your marriage is in a bad place. I've known a lot of people that will look me in the face and tell me everything's okay, only to find out months later they decided to get a divorce. Never knew about it. There's stuff going on in your lives that you need to have enough faith and enough confidence in God to say, I don't want to give up. Because if I give up, I'm going to disappoint the Lord. Because I think Jesus was disappointed. I think he was excited that Peter wanted to walk on water. I was thinking he was excited that he actually did it. But then to see him start to sink. Maybe if we don't give up, we'll see that blessing come. Maybe if we don't give up, we'll realize what God is doing in our lives even right now. Maybe if we don't give up, we'll see God get all the glory. So I'm encouraging all of us this morning. Whatever it is, again, whether it's a relationship, whether it's your career, whether it's where you live, whatever it is, but maybe it's a person, and you're thinking about giving up, can I ask you to do one thing? Make sure you pray about it to the Lord and get his direction in your life. He's the one that needs the answer. You know, many people come up to me, Pastor Rob, can you help me make a decision? No, I cannot. I mean, I'm gonna lead you to the Lord, but the decision has to be yours. Because if I tell you to do something and it doesn't work out, we're not friends anymore. No, you don't like me anymore, right? Pastor Rob told me to quit my job. I've never done that. But truly, let's be in a place where we don't give up too soon, that we truly have the faith to believe that our blessing is right there, and we just have to persevere a little bit longer. Life is hard, but Jesus is more powerful. And when we get those blessings and we get those answers that we're looking for, it's going to make it all worthwhile. That's the great thing. Once we get what God wants us to have, we forget all about the journey. We forget all about the heartache because the blessings are there. So don't give up this week. I encourage you to do that. Be like Peter. Walk on water. Do amazing things. But don't quit too soon.